The playoffs are here. Yes, finally, folks, the march to the Grey Cup is officially on. I'm Andy McNamara. This is Third and Long, your inside look at the Canadian Football League, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. This is what the past 21 weeks, and then you add on preseason and the draft and all that, have all led up to this week, the semifinals. Edmonton into Montreal for the crossover game, and then out west, Winnipeg battling the Stampeders in Calgary. Great show for you today. In just a couple minutes, we'll have Chris O'Leary, senior writer from CFL.ca. He's going to pop in. Then from the Blue Bombers, Adam Big Hill, one of the best linebackers in the league and has been such a force over the last number of years. I'm fascinated to talk to him just about the journey through quarterback. Think about all the Blue Bombers have been through this year. You had Matt Nichols come in, got hurt. Would he come back? Wouldn't he? He wouldn't. Chris Streveler grinding out. And the Blue Bombers had to get creative to be as successful as they were, right? Like, they finished 11-7, but for the most part, it was with Chris Streveler and really trying to pick and find out what he could or could not do. And then Zach Collaros. Like, this is the storyline to me. You have Bo Levi Mitchell, friend of show, right, on last week in Behind the Helmet, coming in after he spent a good chunk of the year on the bench being injured. But you have Zach Collaros, three teams in 1 year, started with Saskatchewan. Remember that? Remember Zach Collaros at Saskatchewan to start the year? That was supposed to be his resurgence. Gets knocked out. Gets traded to Toronto. Then gets dealt to Winnipeg. And now comes in, wins. What a story that would be if you had Zach Collaros lead the Blue Bombers into the division finals. But it is going to be a stiff test against the always formidable Calgary Stampeders. They just know how to win, straight up. They just know how to win. But we'll talk about Winnipeg's journey and what to expect and get to know Adam Big Hill a little bit better in Behind the Helmet. And following that, it'll be Ben Kramer from Daily Roto and CFL.ca to go over the different fantasy football options for this week. Only four teams, but still in the DraftKings contest, you can still play. And there's some, I like sometimes the creativity you have to get to when it comes to filling out a roster and a salary in fantasy when there are such few teams. Because you always try to work in the contrarian points, right? But if there's only a few teams, those are few and far between. So we'll talk to Ben about that, as well as betting tips. We look at the lines right now. Alouettes, 2-point favorites over the visiting Edmonton Eskimos, and the Calgary Stampeders, 5.5-point favorites against Winnipeg, who are going to be rolling into Calgary, of course. So we'll get into all that with Ben Kramer from CFL.ca and Daily Roto. But let's head out now to Edmonton. It is Chris O'Leary, senior writer for CFL.ca. Chris, what are you doing out in Edmonton, buddy? How's it going?
It's going well. I feel like I never left. It's just like it was when I left 4 years ago. It's cold and there's a football game to cover.
Life is good. Cold and yeah. Football in the Canadian Football League go hand in hand. So we'll swing around the two playoff games, of course, this weekend. But a lot of different storylines from the off season side, as we for teams that aren't in the playoffs. That's that time of year for them. Mm-hmm. And Chris, BC Lions shaking it up. That leads the off season storylines. Breaking late Wednesday morning, have cut bait with Devon Claybrooks. He is out as head coach of the BC Lions. And really, Chris, no surprise there. You had Mike Riley. You had the best quarterback in the CFL, yeah. And you missed the playoffs. Is it all on the head coach? No, the offensive line was bad. It just was a team that I think it relied maybe too much on just, okay, we got the quarterback and that's it. Because the expectations here, Chris, were, okay, if you get Mike Riley, it wasn't just make the playoffs, it was make a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that is something that the Lions wanted, obviously, something that Ed Hervey was hoping for, and you know, the people above him as well in that organization, and to kind of fall so short. I mean, they were 1-10 at one point this season. It's just a colossal disappointment. You know, they did play well. I think from that 1-10 point, I think they had won four in a row. against some bad teams, but did put a winning streak together. And then, you know, when they had a sliver of a hope to squeak into the playoffs, Mike Riley breaks his wrist, and it's game over. I guess it shouldn't be a surprise when you kind of run through all the shortcomings of the season. I did think, just given the history that Ed Hervey and Devon have had, it seemed like they'd gotten along well for a number of years. And you know, I think Ed was very excited to make that hire last year. I thought maybe Devon would get a second season. I thought he'd come back probably with a new staff, because I think that was the thing that raised a lot of eyebrows when he was hired, was just the youth on that staff. There's a lot of inexperience there, you know, aside from Rich Stubler and Jarius Jackson. And, you know, so I thought it would be a more experienced group of people around him going into next year. But, the results kind of make their case on their own, right? That you know, you can't win five games. And, you know, in a market that needs a boost and had the pieces in place to do it, you know, it's maybe not a 100% obvious outcome, but, you know, it's one that makes sense on a level.
Well, and the high price tag with Mike Riley, the pressure from day one, right? Like, you spent – We're not talking about a quarterback situation like Ottawa and Toronto. It's like, okay, you know, new head coach, let's see what happens. No. It was go time, and they fell short. So it'd be interesting to see what BC does. One available guy we know is Rick Campbell.
I can think of somebody.
Right? Who just mutually agreed with the Red Blacks, the only head coach they've ever known in that new reincarnation, has decided, okay, status quo, not good enough, and he wants to move. I wonder if he might be a fit next year. That makes it real interesting. For the Red Blacks, it just seemed, Chris, like, there were so many questions at quarterback. Dominic Davis popped a little bit early, but they just never found their way. And it seemed like they were just playing catch up all year.
Yeah, they were. And I mean, I think there were so many questions. I think a lot of people anticipated, I don't know if they anticipated it being this bad of a season for Ottawa, but when you lose Trevor Harris and, you know, you lose your top receiver, you lose your top running back, one of your top offensive linemen, and you don't really replace them with known commodities out of the gate. You know, and you say you're going to go with Dominic Davis, who went into the season, you know, relatively unproven. You know, I think a lot of people sort of expected the worst for Ottawa. They expected them to take a step back. Where they go from here now is really, it's solely up to Marcel Desjardins. I mean, that's, you know, I think Rick Campbell made that clear, that they weren't really on the same page. They'd worked together for a long time, and they both wanted to take things in a different direction. So it'll be up to Marcel now to kind of, you know, find a lot of things, really. He's got to find a coach, whether that head coach doubles as an OC or not. He certainly needs to find an OC after losing Jamie Elizondo so late in the offseason last year. And then the quarterback. I mean, the list is long, and, you know, the quarterback market will be interesting this year, but it's not going to be as rich as it was a year ago, right? Like, you only have two known kind of top-end guys in Jeremiah Masoli and Matt Nichols, I think, are the only two big-time kind of pending free agent quarterbacks right now, and both are coming off of season-ending injuries.
Yeah.
So you don't really know 100% what you're going to be getting there. There's some risk in that. And then, you know, if you don't want one of those two, you're either looking to the States to bring someone up, and that's a huge project on its own, or you're, you know, you're looking at backups around the league, and maybe it's Nick Arbuckle in Calgary, you know, or, you know, if maybe the situation in Hamilton plays out where, you know, they want to keep Masoli, maybe Dane Evans becomes available somehow, although he's under contract, I think, until 2021. So, there's a big list in front of Marcel Desjardins as he looks to move this team forward. And, you know, now BC becomes probably a very appealing option for Rick Campbell. You know, he wanted a quarterback. There's certainly a quarterback
there
in BC that's ready to go.
There he is. Just fix that offensive line and get going. In conversation with Chris O'Leary, senior writer for CFL.ca on Twitter, at O'Leary Chris. Now let's get to a good news coaching story, and that has been, and it's a piece that's going to be up on CFL.ca, Montreal Alouettes, Kahari Jones. And Chris, you look at that Alouettes team, every excuse in the book to say, all right, not our year, mail it in. Head coach gets removed in the preseason. You thought that was there. Kahari Jones, like a, hey, Kahari, by the way, you're the head coach. Okay, bye. What? Right? And then they're on a two-game winning streak. The GM gets fired. And you have Vernon Adams coming in. He was really in a prove-it year for his pro football career, and he took over. Like, it's just been a remarkable story, and it really starts, I think, with Kahari Jones.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think, there are two major factors there. You mentioned both Kari and then Vernon Adams. I think the teams that are great, or the teams that have something special, are the ones that, you know, your coach and your quarterback, I think, see things the same way. And, I've written long pieces on both of those guys this year. The Kari Jones story goes up on Wednesday on CFL.ca. But just talking with them, I spoke with both of their fathers for the separate stories, and they're very, very similar guys. They were kind of raised the same way. Their dads were their coaches as kids, and their dads pushed them, and I think they did it thinking, you're never going to have a tougher coach than me. And when you go out into the world, you're going to be ready for anything. And, I think that kind of bonded those two as they got to know each other. They probably started to get to know each other last year. And then this year, when Vernon became the starter and started to play well and win, I think that's a big thing in that turnaround, a big factor in the turnaround. And just what a coaching job, right? Just to take a team that's been in the cellar for 4 years. It looked so bleak. You see a team fire its head coach 6 days before its first game at the conclusion of a training camp. You think that's the first step in the death march. And to be able to turn it around the way they did, to make that team believe in itself, is the biggest accomplishment to me, is just to reverse a culture of losing. And it's to watch that team now. They're fun. There's a good, the fans are starting to come back to the stadium, and there's just such a good energy with that team, and just in that stadium, it's a really remarkable thing.
And that's where you're going to be headed, to take in that atmosphere with the Alouettes and Edmonton in the crossover. And you look at that game. The other storyline, of course, is with Trevor Harris. Missed a good chunk of time with injury. They chose to sit him last week. And it's kind of that rust versus rest argument of, okay, Montreal as a whole, if you just look, they're not the best really in any category. It's just that unit, that group, that lightning in a bottle. Whereas Edmonton has, okay, you haven't beaten the team with the winning record, but you have the pieces to be great. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if there is any rest with Trevor Harris and how Edmonton does to start the game.
Yeah, and I was just listening to Trevor Harris on Tuesday with the media. He was pretty optimistic, just saying he's certainly rested. He's played one game in 2 months, essentially. And, you look at that matchup, and it's so interesting to me. Yeah, you're right. Like, Edmonton should be, you look at them on paper.
Yeah.
They should be much better than the 8 wins they got this year. And I'm sure they're disappointed in that aspect of it. And, I think we've seen it in the CFL before. I think of Ottawa a few years ago, just getting hot at the right time. A team also that won 8 games, right? Got hot at the right time and went all the way. And we've seen it before. It can happen. I think it's super difficult. And I think it's hard to break patterns that your team develops through a season like that. But they certainly have the ability to do it. You look at Montreal, and like you said, they're not the perfect team. I was writing something about the three non-playoff teams last week, and just looking at the defensive stats, and you see those three non-playoff teams, they're generally towards the bottom in all those defensive stats, and the Alouettes aren't that far away from them in a lot of categories. Like, it's a defense that's given up a lot, but at the same time, they've just found ways to win. And I think they feel like they've been through every situation on the field. They've had everything hanging over them, over their heads off the field this year in terms of ownership, and you never know who's going to get fired or what kind of move might surprise you, when you go to work. But they've galvanized themselves through that, and I think they feel, I don't know if indestructible is the right word, but they feel like they can win any game.
Yeah, nothing is going to rattle them, and that makes them a very dangerous opponent. And you go to the West semifinal, Winnipeg and Calgary. You have, if you put this in at, 2015, Caleros versus Bo Levi Mitchell. Holy, that is prime time, baby. But now you have Zach Caleros, really a story trying to show, okay, hey, third team in a year, what a comeback, like a Rocky-esque type story. If Zach Caleros could go into Calgary and win, compare that to Bo Levi Mitchell missed a whole bunch of time, and he got when he came back, that Stampeders team got rolling at just the right time, and they're we know how dangerous they are in at McMahon.
Yeah, and I think that's the most daunting thing of that to me. If you're a Winnipeg fan, if you're looking at their chances, it's been so tough to win in Calgary in the playoffs. Yeah. Whether it's I think Calgary's more accustomed to hosting the West Final, but even just Calgary at home, I think is a really big mountain to climb. And you look at Caleros, and it's, to me, just such an interesting story, and just the possibilities there, right? Like you said, traded twice in a year, and gets on the field for the last game of the season, and you know, makes a huge contribution for his team and plays his best game in years probably. And then if you look down the road, there's a possibility that, you know, if they get past Calgary, he would go into Saskatchewan, the team that traded him at the start of the season. You know, if they get past that, he could be up against Hamilton, the team that traded him away a few years ago when they essentially benched him when they were 0-8. I mean, there's a path there for like a massive redemption story, and it would be incredible if it all kind of fell into place.
It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Chris, safe travels to Montreal, man. We'll talk to you real soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, there he goes. Chris O'Leary from CFL.ca, their senior writer, does such a great job on Twitter, at O'Leary Chris. After the break, we will head out to Winnipeg. The Blue Bombers take on the Stampeders in Calgary in the West semifinal. We'll talk to one of the best linebackers in the CFL. Adam Big Hill joins me for Behind the Helmet. And after that, fantasy football talk and some betting tips for the weekend's games with Ben Kramer of Daily Roto and CFL.ca. Third and Long continues across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Third and Long, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara. It is playoff time in the CFL, baby. You know it, the semis. Two games this weekend. Went over a whole bunch with Chris O'Leary. We'll talk fantasy and betting tips for the pair of East and West games with Ben Kramer from Daily Roto and CFL.ca in the next segment. If you miss any of the show, don't worry. All you do, you go to Sportsnet.ca. You can find it there, or the link will be on Twitter at Third and Long CFL, the number 3 RD and Long CFL, and myself at AndyMC81. Also on Instagram, I'll post the link there at AndyMC Sports. Had a chance to catch up a little bit earlier with one of the best linebackers in the business. He's a member of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Mr. Adam Big Hill. We go Behind the Helmet. Adam, let's start with the journey you and your teammates have made this season. It was a season that started with such high expectations, started off well. Matt Nichols goes down, Chris Streveler carries you through, and then rising from the ashes, Zach Caleros on his third team takes you to that last win, and now he's going. How strong is this locker room, and how much of having to overcome situations like this, how much has that brought you all together?
Well, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, you said it all there, that, you know, we've effectively used our entire roster, guys in and out, lots of, we've had a lot of adversity with injuries and, main positions. So we've found ways to get wins and bring new guys in and have them step up. So from that standpoint, we have a lot of confidence going through in the playoffs with how we've been playing and getting some guys feeling a little bit healthier after bye week. Those are all great things for us right now.
And when you have to overcome situations like this, does it give the feeling of, you know what, it doesn't matter really what happens in the game. Like, it almost, I would think it would almost give you the feeling like nothing can rattle you because you've already overcome so much. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, it's a point where we've been in so many different situations this year. And every situation throughout the year is a learning experience. But, you know, and you don't come out on the right end of them all the time. You know, you lose a close game or you lose a game that you should have won. You battle and you're late on the stretch. It's the last drive. We don't come away with a win. We're in the last drive. We come away with a win. We've had, you know, several games settled within 4 points. Those are examples of things that you learn from and you're able to overcome now. Going forward is understanding, you know, how to approach those situations differently because of, you know, the things that we might have experienced, whether it's mistakes or missed execution. You know, it's all about taking those events forward and having learned from those. So exactly right. Like, you know, nothing really can faze us at this point.
What type of leader are you in the locker room, Adam? Because you've been around the league a long time, one of the best defensive players in the entire CFL over a long period of time. Players obviously look to you. What type of leader are you on the field and then maybe behind the scenes a little bit in the locker room?
I always start with leading by example. So with my, you know, my attention to detail, my preparation for the game, for practices, my film study, just my communication, those are things I always start with. And from there, when it's time to step up and say something based on you know, whatever it may need to be. At that point, I feel I get the ears of the locker room because they understand and they watch how I operate, and you earn respect. You can't just come in and say stuff and hope that people are going to hear you. You've got to make sure that you earn respect. And that's always the first thing I try to do with my own preparation and how I approach the game. So having my experience, how long I've been in the league now and having success, you know, it's great to be able to share my advice, my experience with others and really help guys around me become better players.
And I would have to think, too, in conversation, by the way, with Adam Bighill, linebacker for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, getting ready to take on the Calgary Stampeders Sunday in the Western semifinals. Adam, I have to think as well, this, I believe it's maybe most important in football for whatever reason, stability, knowing what's happening, the routine, and to have Mike O'Shea there as long as he has, and to have really that core group. Now, the quarterback situation due to injury aside, that group as a unit, I would have to believe would be a bonus compared to a team that maybe, heck, at some parts would have more talent, but maybe don't have that routine or the same coaching staff for that period of time. Is there a lot of importance to that as a player and as a unit?
Yeah, I think so. Continuity is something that's very important, and obviously just being familiar with the guys around you and communication, all that stuff plays a huge part into being successful out there.
In conversation with Adam Bighill, linebacker of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So Calgary Stampeders, you're heading in, right? Everybody talks about how dangerous McMahon Stadium is and all that, and they have Bo Levi Mitchell. This, for me, I said earlier in the show, this is going to be one of those, I'm just going to sit back with some popcorn and enjoy it. How exciting for you is it? You're going in enemy territory, you know. And in Winnipeg, of course, Investors Group Field, it's a dynamic atmosphere. But when you go into enemy territory, it almost gives to me that heel wrestler feel. Like, do you feed off the booze, like from the energy in that Calgary Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, you got to. I mean, you got to feed off the energy of playoff football too, and that's really what's going to be carrying us so high. Is that there may be no tomorrow, so you're letting it all hang out right now, and you're putting every ounce of energy and every ounce of focus into this game, and letting the chips fall where they may. You know, from that standpoint, the game gets faster, it gets more attention to detail, it gets, you know, there's more pressure mounting on everything you do. And that's really what we play this game for. That's what makes this game so much fun, is collectively as a unit going out there in these situations to be able to go out there and get a win.
And Adam, let's get to the fans to know you a little bit better. You're on Twitter at BigHill44. But to get to know the man, the guy, when he's off the field a little bit better, we go behind the helmet. And for you, tell me the last either movie you watched or TV show that you binge watched.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, when I have some downtime with me and my wife, we have three kids now. So we have my oldest is going to be turning 4 in November 13th, so coming up soon. We got a 2.5-year-old daughter, and then we just had a newborn 8 weeks now, eight-week-old boy. So
congratulations.
Thank you. We aren't getting a ton of free time on our hands right now, but, you know, if we do get some babysitting, we love to go see a movie. I think the last movie we might have watched would be like Ad Astra.
Okay.
You know, it was okay. Right. You know, but TV series at home, you know, like we definitely hop on some TV series. You know, we've gone through the gamut of them, so yeah, we enjoy that time together when we do get some quiet time.
Nice. Oh, man. You know what? At least with the three young kids, I got two little ones myself. It helps with the cardio, doesn't it? Like the it because you are on the go, I'm sure, right? It is nonstop.
Oh, yeah, you're on the go. I mean, if I'm not feeding the baby, I'm wrestling with the older two. And, you know, I got an activity watch tracker that's on my wrist. All, you know, I never take it off, and quite often it's asking me if I had a workout, a half-hour-long workout, and that was just me wrestling with the kids. So it's definitely work.
That's awesome. Now, when you go to – you're a big dude, right? Eating well is important. But what's your favorite cheat food? Maybe the off-season, you know, you take a little break. What's the cheat food for Adam Bighill?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I love ice cream, so I'm a big ice cream guy.
Yeah. Any type? I'm partial to cookie dough, chocolate chip cookie dough myself.
Well, I'm a chocolate guy through and through, so it could be chocolate. You can throw, you know, whatever you want in it, right?
Nice.
It could be Reese's or or chocolate chips, M&M, chocolate fudge sauce. I'm all over the chocolate.
Your least favorite food, maybe a vegetable, like Brussels sprouts, just springs to the front of my mind. I don't know. What's one you don't eat?
Yeah, probably mushrooms. I'm not a mushroom guy.
Okay.
Not the fact that I've never really tried just tasting mushrooms, but I think it's the idea of like where mushrooms come from and the fact that a mushroom is a fungus.
Oh.
It's a different, if it comes from a different kingdom, and fungus just sounds a little funny to me.
Oh, well, might be on pizza later tonight, Adam. I am scratching off mushrooms. Thank you. That is permanently off the menu for me. And last one for you. You got the growing family, as you said. If you had a blank check, owner says, look, you take the family anywhere in the world you want, where would you go?
Oh, man, we got to go to Disney World Disney World. That's the place where the family's going to be able to appreciate it. Yeah, there's probably some cooler places in the world I'd like to go, but, at this point, it's not really about me. It's about having fun with my family and seeing them happy. So that's what I'd like to do, is take them to Disney World and let them be happy.
Absolutely. Well, Adam, really appreciate you taking the time. Good luck this Sunday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There he is, Adam Big Hill of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Getting to learn a little bit about him and everything that the Blue Bombers have overcome. That seems to be the theme this year. Like each team, maybe not every team, but so many teams, Saskatchewan, Calgary, Winnipeg, Edmonton, like it seems like everybody, Montreal, Hamilton, almost every team has had something significant to overcome. And it just seems like, especially at the quarterback position, when that's the case, it really stands out. So we'll take the break. After that, get into some fantasy football tips for your DFS CFL contest, as well as some betting advice for the two semifinal games. Ben Kramer of Daily Roto and CFL.ca will join me after the break. You're listening to Third and Long across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back to wrap up Third and Long across the Sportsnet Radio Network as we get ready for the CFL semifinals, Edmonton versus Montreal and Winnipeg taking on Calgary. Make sure you get me on Twitter at AndyMC81, the show at Third and Long CFL. That's the number 3RD and Long CFL. Well, even though there's only two games, four teams, there is still a lot of fantasy football to be played, as well as some wagering tips, because these two matchups truly to me could go either way, and you can make an argument for either club winning. So let's bring on my guy from Daily Roto and CFL.ca, Ben Kramer, to help us break it all down. Ben, let's begin with the Eastern semifinal. Edmonton, of course, coming over at the crossover into Montreal. We look at the weather. Looks pretty good for November. You got 5 Celsius, cloudy with showers, 70% chance of precipitation. So it's going to be wet, but the wind, not too bad, 22 kilometers an hour. All in all, it's going to be okay. Might get a little sloppy, but it'll be all right. But let's begin there on the fantasy football side of things. And when we go to the DraftKings contest, obviously Vernon Adams Jr. has been all year an absolute stud. And just overall, Ben, when we're down to these, there's four teams left. There's not really a whole lot of room to try to get too cute, right? Like you kind of got it. Is the strategy you got to go for the star power?
Frankly, it's pretty tricky with DraftKings this week because they haven't adjusted the salaries all that much over the last month. It's been a little bit forgotten for them with the NFL and NBA and NHL all kicking off.
Right.
So there's some players like Hirgi Mayala that have had some massive games in the past month, and he's still minimum priced on the salary. So I think there's a lot of room to jam in studs up top and take a couple of those punt plays at the bottom, and you can go kind of a studs and duds lineup this week.
Interesting. And you know what? That's a great point of strategy for our listeners who can really try to take advantage of that, right? So as we go through, we'll pick some of those value plays that may have slipped away. Hey, if DraftKings wants to do it that way, we'll take advantage, right? Why not?
Yeah, that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be interesting this weekend because I expect he'll probably be 60 or 70% owned in most of the contests because people will look at the game logs and see some of those big scores. But in general, he's kind of had either 30 points or 3 points. So he's either going to go big or go home.
Yeah, it's going to be a big boom or bust thing. So let's go to let's look at the wagering side of this game here. And you look at the Alouettes, they are a 2-point favorite. So pretty much just to pick them. You have Trevor Harris coming back, sat last week. This is the concern to me, Ben. And I'm picking straight up Montreal. The money line is set 205 for Edmonton, $179 for the Alouettes, and over-under is set at 50. I'm going Montreal because I think it was a mistake to not play at least some of Trevor Harris in that game. I know you want to preserve, and it's that rest versus rust argument, but he had missed a bunch of time already. At least get the half. Like, this Montreal team doesn't mess around. If you come out slow, they could put you away, especially at home.
Yeah, I think if their offense comes out and puts up a couple touchdowns early, then, you know what, we'll have to see how it happens. But that could still be all right for Harris's statistics as far as having to play from behind and pass the ball significantly more. I actually don't mind the Edmonton side of this one, given that Edmonton projects for the most plays from scrimmage this week. Montreal gave up the most yards per pass of any playoff team and the second most touchdowns per pass of any team this season. I think there's reason for optimism for Harris and his return to the Edmonton offense, giving them the boost that they haven't had over the second half of the season. Well, they've really languished with Kilgore under center. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of upwards momentum for them, even though they didn't get to finish the season with it. And we'll see how they come out in the final. I'd be interested in Edmonton plus two, but I totally understand where people are coming from with Montreal. It's a tough place to win, having to travel all the way east and having that loud crowd there surrounding
you. Yeah. So, you know what? A contrarian pick. Okay, guys, let's see. Let us know on Twitter at AndyMC81 and Ben at Benjamin who you like. I'm going to take Montreal with the points to win at a plus two favorite there. And Ben is taking the Eskimos as the road dogs. So let's go to the West semifinal. This game is fascinating to me because you have so many different storylines, Ben, just from a general interest point. You have Zach Collaros, my goodness, comes back from the dead. Can he have the ultimate comeback story this season? Imagine if he led the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to the Grey Cup after going to three different teams and being down and out. And then you have the Calgary Stampeders, who are absolute studs. Bo Levi Mitchell came back at the right time of the season and now is absolutely rolling with the Stampeders. It's at home. And this is where the weather might come into effect. Now, the good news is it's going to be dry. You have not the rain. There's going to be a few flurries, but it's projected as minus 13 Celsius. It's going to feel like minus 17, but not a lot of wind. Gusts up to 14 clicks, but then in general, just 9 kilometer an hour wind. So it looks like it's just going to be really cold, and that might be okay. Where are you looking at for this game? Because I just want to grab some popcorn and watch this one.
Yeah, it'll be entertaining, I think, at the very least. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays with frozen footballs. I know they try and keep them warm, but it doesn't take long for them to get cold and hard out on the field there. And if you can see props for turnovers, whether they're interceptions or fumbles on any of the books, those are certainly ones you probably want to bet the over on. As these cold weather games, it's difficult to keep a handle on the ball with cold hands and frozen footballs. So I think the turnovers could probably skyrocket a little bit. And then it's a matter of seeing which offense has managed to maintain possession and keep the ball rolling. I know that Mitchell has had over 300 yards passing in 5 of his last 7 games to finish the season after going just about a full season without passing for 300 yards. And he's had 10 total touchdowns in the last 4 games of the season as well. So it seems that offense is finally peaking at the right time of the season. It'll be interesting to see whether Eric Rogers can return to the lineup. And for Winnipeg, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Chris Streveler. If he's available, then he could certainly cut down on Calero's opportunities in the red zone, as they like to run those Streveler packages out there. There's a lot of different angles that have yet to be determined going into this game.
Well, absolutely. And you look at the line on this, and Calgary is 5.5-point favorites, over-under set at 49.5. Money line for the Blue Bombers, that's really where you can make some coin. $2.95 for Winnipeg to win. Stamps at $1.43. I'm feeling with these cold weather games, Ben, to your point, in turnovers, unless some weird stuff happens and, you know, you get a couple pick sixes and some fumble recovers for touchdowns, I think point-wise, I would take the under. And that might benefit the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in this game. But I'll say that the Stamps are just too good and that they cover that spread and win by, you know, 6 or 7. What do you think?
Yeah, this defense at home doesn't give up a lot of points. They gave up the second fewest yards per carry this season, and that's kind of the bread and butter of the Winnipeg offense. They're a rushing team. If they're forced to air the ball out late playing from behind, I think that's where the turnovers can spike for Caleros or Strebler, for that matter, throwing the ball downfield. So, yeah, I like Calgary quite a bit in this game. I think they'll win by at least a touchdown, and we'll see them next week in Regina for the Western Final.
Well, there you go. And if you look at how Andrew Harris, of course, talk about bread and butter, there's your engine for the Blue Bombers. The two games versus Calgary, you had 11.5 fantasy points in week 20 and 13.6 in week 19. So not gaudy numbers. And then in week 9, he went for 25.4 fantasy points on your DraftKings contest. So it seems like it's tough to say. Like, it's not to say, like, oh, you figured Andrew Harris out, because it's not like he surprised anybody. But this is really, I think, Ben, when you come down to it, if Andrew Harris can get chugging along early and try to batter and wear down that really good, as you mentioned, Calgary defense, that's probably Winnipeg's best shot, because, you know, you don't. Now, Zach Caleros back in the day could, but I don't think you want to lean on Zach to be the guy to have to air it out and win you the game outright.
No, Calgary gave up the fewest yards passing per attempt all season and just the third fewest total touchdowns. So I don't think that's something that's going to be a winning strategy for Winnipeg, having to air the ball out. The problem for them is going to be that, yeah, the Calgary's run defense is really effective. And over the last 2 to 3 seasons, Harris really has had some of his worst games of the season consistently against that Stampeders defense. Like you said, this year, he averaged just 15 points per game fantasy-wise versus the Stampeders. And since returning from suspension, he's only averaged just over 16 fantasy points per game over the last third of the season, which at the salary he demands in the games really is a terrible value. And overall, for just betting this game, if you're looking at what the Blue Bombers' odds are, it doesn't look good for Harris and the overall meta projections for this thing, and certainly that then projects pretty poorly for the Bombers.
So we both take the Stamps outright, I'm hoping, at the very least. And Strebler in this role, that's where he is a real value. As a true starting quarterback, not so much, but as that little extra, and maybe, you know, maybe get you that late touchdown that you need to stay in the game or pull ahead late. Who knows? So we'll both take the Stampeders there. Tweet us at AndyMC81, at Benjamin, in conversation with Ben Kramer from Daily Roto and CFL.ca, talking fantasy football, talking the betting lines for the CFL semifinals. And then we're just, boy, two steps away from the division finals and the Grey Cup, and that's it. So let's get to the fantasy side of things here, Ben. And when you go to just overall, from what we've been saying, are there any Winnipeg Blue Bombers that you find value in this week? You know, we just said Andrew Harris, really expect $10,500 on the salary side in DraftKings. Any Eskimos any Blue Bombers that you're signing up for on DraftKings? I'm outside of Harris at that overpriced, I'm a little wary.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot to love about their offense over the course of most of the 2019 season. I think, if anything, Rashid Bailey clocks in at just around $5,000 on DraftKings. And that mid-tier tag, getting about 5 targets a game, is something that could be an option, but he certainly isn't popping in the projections. Mm-hmm. And there's probably not a lot of this Winnipeg offense that you want to key in on, given how good the Stampeders defense has been over the course of the entire season.
So let's start at the top here. We'll go quarterback. Trevor Harris, most expensive, $10,300 on your DraftKings lineup. Then it's Bo Levi Mitchell, Vernon Adams. You got Strebler after that, which is really a non-starter at this point. Zach Caleros following him. And, that's it. Then it goes to the backups, and you're not touching anybody there. I've been going back and forth on this. I'm going to lean with Vernon Adams Jr. I know against quarterbacks, Edmonton's defense fantasy-wise has given up the fewest. They're ranked number one. But Adams, just with that little bit of extra that he can do with his legs, I'm going to pop him in. Who do you like at quarterback?
Yeah, I think Adams is a possibility, probably more for his production with his legs than with his arm. Edmonton was the most generous rush defense in the league this year in terms of yards per carry, and their touchdowns didn't come nearly as easy against them. But I think if Adams can get a couple through the air and put together maybe 50 or 60 yards on the ground with his legs, that would be a recipe for success for the Alouettes, and certainly for him and his fantasy production as well. So he's on top of the projections right now, mostly due to his rushing production. if by chance that was to go away, as it has a little bit over the second half of this season, then his production would go down quite a bit below Mitchell and Harris. So it's going to be a matter of whether you want to bet on his legs or not.
Yeah, I'm going to bet on the legs. You go to the – let's jump in and see if you decide to go Bo Levi Mitchell. Let's go right to wide receiver. Reggie Bagleton's been an absolute stud, highest-priced wide receiver in DraftKings contest, $9,700. Do you like the option? Like, we talked kind of the studs and then a couple of flyers late. Is Bagleton a must-start?
I think if Aaron Rodgers is out, then Bagleton is absolutely the clear top target at receiver. It's a fairly reasonable price at $9,700, and he projects for just over 20 points, so it makes him a reasonable value as well. Winnipeg has given up the most big plays in the league of over 30 yards. I think that was 32 total, and right in the middle of the pack as far as touchdowns per attempt. So they can be beat deep, and that's really where Bagleton makes his money. So I think he's a good option this week. And a slate that doesn't have a whole lot of other high-priced wide receiver options.
Well, and that's just it. Now, running back, especially when you look at Calgary here, the Calgary running situation fantasy-wise makes me nervous because I keep second-guessing myself. I don't know. And then I think if you do that, Ben, like if you in DFS, at DraftKings, if you're second-guessing yourself too much, it might just be better to go away from the team. Any Calgary running back interest you? And if not, where are you going in the backfield?
Yeah, I don't think you want any part of the Calgary rushing game. I don't think Calgary even wanted any part of their rushing game this season. They rushed the fewest times of any team in the league this season outside of Toronto, and they were one of the least efficient teams doing it as well. So, yeah, Don Jackson, he's the lowest price starting running back, but he deserves to be the lowest price starting running back at $6,400. It's probably not a place that I would go unless you're running 20 lineups and you just want one of the flyer in case he happens to get a couple touchdowns. But the Winnipeg rush defense isn't worth picking on either, so I think he's an easy X out of your player pool. Harris is going to be on top of the projections, but like we said, he's struggled versus Calgary and frankly struggled a fair bit since coming back from suspension. And with a price tag, $10,500, I think that's a pretty easy fade as well. So that leaves you the two other starting running backs that face each other. It looks like C.J. Gable probably returns to action this week at $9,200, which is priced significantly more than I would hope to pay for an Edmonton running back. But Standback's prices continue to come down a little bit as he's missed some time. He's pretty reasonable around $8,500, and he projects for the best value of any of the starting running backs this week. As we mentioned, the Edmonton rush defense gave up the most yards per carry this season. So if Standback can get even 75-80% of the workload of the Alouettes' backfield, he's a pretty reasonable option. It will be interesting to see whether Jeremiah Johnson comes back to the starting lineup, or not the starting lineup, but at least active this week, and see where that takes their offense to, because he usually chews into Standback's production a little bit when he's active.
All right, Ben, one more for you here. Give me a flex, either value, either a must-start, whatever, something you like for your DraftKings lineup in the flex spot.
Yeah, I think given the high prices at quarterback and running back and wanting to have Bagleton in the lineup, most people are going to have to go the Hergie Mayala route at $3,800. He's a boom or bust option, but certainly the salary relief that he provides lets you fit in a couple more of those other starters and certainly will be one of the highest owned players on the slate.
Love it. All right, buddy. Great stuff. Enjoy the games, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah. Talk to you later, my friend.
There he goes, Ben Kramer from Daily Roto and CFL.ca. And that'll do it for us too, folks. Enjoy the games. Have fun, because next week, baby, it's go time. Winners go to the Grey Cup. Semis, who do you got? Hit us up on Twitter, at AndyMCD1, at Benjamin. Is it Edmonton? Is it Montreal? Is it Winnipeg? Is it Calgary? Enjoy all the games. You've been listening to Third and Long across the Sportsnet Radio Network.